Let's come to Ruth chapter 3. And just to give you a background of Ruth chapter 1, you remember Naomi, there was a famine in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means what? House of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. So there was famine in the house of bread. And this nuclear family didn't know anything. They just went to Moab, which is a sinful place. They went there. And the Bible says God visited Bethlehem. See, stay in Bethlehem. That's better. Else tragedies will come and, you know, don't move here and there. Bethlehem is God's place. Don't leave Bethlehem. Don't leave your church life. It's the house of bread. You may think you're not getting anything, but stay there, focused. God will definitely visit when you stay faithful to a church. Amen. So that's Bethlehem. And then this woman, Naomi, when she went to Moab, she got two good daughters-in-law. And Bible says in 10 years, all the men folks were gone, dead. Tragedy. Who would want to be with her? And then Naomi, like every good pastor, she said to her daughters-in-law, see, daughters, I am a broken woman. I am good for nothing. Don't stay with me. You go back to your mother's house. I am equivalent as dead. I will go back to Bethlehem because I heard God has visited that place. I can go. I have my 30-40 site there. Probably she must have got. She must have, because in that trouble she left. I'm just imagining the biblical stories. I have my 30-40 site there. I'll go back. You go back to immediately. Orpah, like every serial we see, you know, crying, and she left. And then Ruth said, "Don't urge me to leave you. Don't ever tell me to leave you. Your life might be bitter, but wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God shall be my God." Because she knew something different about Naomi. Her life was nothing, but she knew that there was a God who was strengthening her. Friends, I want to tell you, there is nothing greater than troubles when you know the powerful hands of God which will sustain you. So thank God for troubles in your life. Thank God for sufferings in your life. But when those comes, that is the time where your commitment is revealed. When I told Naomi is like every good pastor, she is a good pastor. In Ruth, she is my pastoral model. You know why? Because she said, "You go, you don't come." No, meaning we tell, you know, to many people, like, for example, if I want to tell Brother Naveen to come for a meeting, I'll say, "Brother Naveen Garu, you try coming." Why did I use the word try? Huh? If I am a good pastor, I'll say, you come, you fellow, you better be here. But in Bangalore, you cannot say that. They will get angry and upset and go, "No, not this church. I'm not going to him again." So what should we do? We should, "Naveen Garu, we are having prayer. So please try coming." So if he doesn't come, this doesn't wound me. But all his step hinge on that try. Pastor told, so if I don't go also, I am here. He is not there. So when I look at it, I will say, okay, he's not probably interested in coming. And then we continue our weeping life. And let him rejoice. Okay, no problem. We continue weeping. Pastors are we are keeping for meeting for what? For the people. No, I'm just giving an example. He's there always. What I'm trying to tell you is, like, Naomi also did the same. She said, "You go." It's not that she didn't want two daughters-in-law to be with her. She said, "Okay, you go back. That's better for you. For your future, you go back." Ruth said, "No, don't urge me. Never tell that again. Wherever you go, I will go." And Ruth said, "Okay." Naomi said, "Okay, I'll take you." And the Bible says she saw the determination of Ruth to stay with her, and she stopped telling. And she goes back to Bethlehem. And then we come to Ruth chapter 2, where Ruth initiates something. She says, let me go and do something. When you are in the grip, when you take a commitment for the Lord, grace comes over your life. Lift your hands and say, "Grace." When you are committed for the Lord, only grace comes. For uncommitted lives, grace never comes. Because God says, "He doesn't need me." But when you say, it's sweeter as the days go by. He gives me more grace, more power, more strength. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." And in Ruth chapter 2, we go and Ruth comes to a field, and it was the field of the right person. So, like last week, I told about the right person, the right places, the right passion, the right purpose, and a lot of peace I gave to you. Protection, right position, right. So when Ruth came into the field, what did Boaz say? Nobody will harm you. 24/7, no problem. Many people are in Ruth chapter 2. They enjoy the provision of God. Thank God there is a Ruth chapter 3. Many believers are in Ruth chapter 2. They enjoy the protection of God. Who wouldn't like God to protect them? Who wouldn't like God providing for them? He opens doors for you. Well, thank you, Jesus. I'm happy. Why are you happy? Because of the things he's giving. You know, you're getting protection. You're getting the provision. But is that all? I want to tell you, many of the Christians, majority, 99.99% are in Ruth chapter 2. They are not making the progression. And today I want to break my sermon into two parts. The sermon notes. The sermon is the Ruth, the story of redemption. And today it's about relationship. Relationship. You have to progress in your relationship with God. May I start this sermon by asking you this question. How is your relationship with God? Are you just satisfied with the protection that comes from Him? Are you just satisfied with the money that you draw? Like last week I told you, you work here, you get it there. You remember that? You work here, you get it there. God placed you here, you get the salary there. Are you just satisfied? Or are you longing for something good to happen? Or are you going closer, deeper in your relationship with God? That's most important. When nobody is around, how are you lifting your hands and saying, Lord, I just need you. Ruth would have been just over if she didn't make her progression into Ruth chapter 3. And today I want to tell you about that relationship which she made. And Ruth chapter 3, as I told you, Naomi shows me as a good pastor. She's a good woman of God's word. She has a lot of goodness inside of her because of God's word. I want to tell you, goodness can come out of your life only because of God's word. How much do you adore God's word? How much you imbibe God's word? There is no other goodness in your life that other than God's word. So Naomi is telling to her, Naomi, her mother-in-law said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? See, wasn't it well for Ruth? She was enjoying good life. She got her salary. She had a car, probably. We don't know. I'm just giving you an imagination. She got everything. She got protection. She got provision. She got everything. But Naomi is telling, hey, still you're unsettled. Friends, you might get a worldly salary. You might get the biggest salary. You might get the biggest position in your company. But if you are not yet in a relationship with God, you're still at unrest. You are arrested by the world. I still remember when I took that commitment. Because first 2 years, I was studious. I was so studious in my academic life. Even I got subject topper and all. And one teacher was so happy that she wanted to give the gift to who got the first prize, and she, of all the subjects, only that teacher turned up and I got it. I was so happy. I still remember the second year. Have you ever got a gift for being the topper? No, I got it. She was also in Karunia, way two buildings away from me. That's why I asked her. But I was so happy. She gave me a clock. All the first topper fellows and all of the right. Look at me, man. Then I met some of my craziest friends in my life who were quite spiritual. We started involving biblical activity, then fully there only. Wherever we can get a loophole, we wanted our batch to be saved. Every evening prayer cells, every Sunday corporate worships, people started calling me Kalla Pastor. Kalla Pastor means fraud fellow, but that pastor name was there. I was happy in Karunya. A good place to minister to the Lord. Youngsters from different places coming, and we were just laboring for the Lord. Then it struck me, I was in fourth year. Final exam. Now our year should not come. All this while somehow God led. So I said, okay, I have no other go other than to go to God now. Of course, I was with the Lord doing His work. I went to my hometown and I put the books, OOAD, Object-Oriented Analysis, Design, Fuzzy Logic. How many of you remember Fuzzy Logic? All of them who studied engineering? How many of you studied engineering? You remember Shyamali sister, Fuzzy Logic? DSA, Digital Structures and Algorithm. For God, see, I am at least having good brain than you. I'm so happy. Whoa, some subjects were like, my goodness. I was thinking, why am I learning all the bit and byte and kilobytes and, you know. And it didn't make any sense to me. All that made sense to me was this. But, okay, to start, we have to get marks. Otherwise, so I said, Lord, if you allow me to pass with good marks, I dedicate my engineering degree for you. Nobody was there when I made that commitment. with the books. I still remember the night in my bedroom. And no wonder I am here now. My desire is to spam the internet with God's word. Spam WhatsApp with God's word. Wherever you turn, you should see God's word. Amen. So commitment. See, there's a difference between contractual labors and honors. How many of you know what is contract? Your contract can terminate, can be terminated anytime. So Ruth was like that. Many of you are like that in the church also. You're working as if you're contract laborers. Last week I was talking to one pastor. He said church people are like bus and conductor. I said pastors are like bus drivers. He said, yeah, he was also a pastor. He was also telling a revelation. I said, expound. Yeah, pastor, many people get inside from Electronic City. We want to take them to Majestic Bus Stand. But they want to get down in Electronic City. They want to get down in Madiwala. They want to get down in Forum in front of Brigade Road, MG Road. By the time when we go to Majestic Bus Stand, nobody will be there. And then they say, they forget the driver who's driving the bus also. So church pastors are like bus drivers. I said, yeah, makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. You're not getting down in Koramangala or Domlur. You're coming with me to Majestic. Kempegowda Bus Stand. I'm just allegorically telling you're coming with me all the way. Amen. Somebody said praise the Lord. That is commitment. Contractual labors. We should not be in contract. You're enjoying the provision of food. You're enjoying the Z plus security. You're enjoying the angelic protection. Is that all? No, that's not at all. You have to come forward in relationship. Ruth, you are now a contractual labor. But God has a plan that you might be the owner of the field where you are working. See, there's a difference in doing stuff and owning. See, if you are owning a business, say if you are a dentist and you are many dentists are here, when you put a clinic, you will not sleep till 12 o'clock. And if you have a hospital, you will go way early, by 9:30 or 10, you'll be there. Why? Waiting for somebody to come so that they're praying, Lord, let somebody hit their teeth and come. So it seems Sheba's grandpa, he used to crack jokes like me. So he said one day in a widow's meeting, he was very unhappy with the number. So he asked one pastor to pray. The pastor said, let there be more widows who come next to you. He called him and said, what did you say? You want widow people to increase, means husband have to die. Don't ever pray that prayer. So we look at all those things. Doctors want more patients to come. Patients mean more have to be accident. I'm praying nobody should go there. So it's a tug of war. It's a spiritual tug of war. Hallelujah. So the idea, what I'm trying to tell you today is, you should progress in your relationship with God. Otherwise, it's all waste. How is your relationship with God? God wants you to own the thing. Do you own the church? My question, do you own Shelter House? No, pastor, it's yours. That's wrong. It's the Lord's. You should own it. This is my house. I have to do things for it because you are in a relationship with God. Nobody will say amen. Sometimes we give ministry opportunities to you. We say you have to be a circle leader. Suddenly it dawns on you that it's a ministry. Either it can be a burden or you can own it. When I say ownership, when I give circle leadership to Brother Naveen, it's his duty to take over the city. When I gave him that opportunity, it's like Arikare to Gottikare, it's my territory. I want people to come in. What he will do? He will do prayer walk. Not prayer sleep. Lakshmi Amma, tomorrow pour out water on him and tell him, go for prayer walk. Pastor said. No, that's how it is. You own the ministry. When you are there, the dark forces cannot rule. Christ College has come here. What an opportunity. All the youngsters who are working. Pray for that. Lot of students. I don't know how to reach them. I'm looking for a loophole. In ganja and drugs. Antichrist activities in Christ University. Yeah. But who is going with a burden? Are you owning this city? Or are you just running like a contractual Ruth? When you are in an area, when Sister Vijaya is in that place, she is the owner of that place. She is the owner of that principle. God has placed you there. Wherever you live, wherever you work, God has placed you so that you will bring a shift in the environment for God. You are not a contractual laborer. You are an owner. For I am telling you something which you cannot grasp. I am telling you, you are an owner of your ministry. You are an owner of God's word. I pray that today you will shift everything. Church is not pastors. We are weak people to lead you into the ways of the Lord. But my desire is that you will own the ministry. If I am not there, it's a big problem for the work. I will be here. No matter what the shame, no matter what. I started my Bangalore ministry as a Sunday school teacher. Sunday school teacher. I went there, I brought some students, some 5-6 students were there. I asked them to bring Bibles and some of them accepted the Lord as their Savior. And when they see me now, they will say, Chacha, we will never forget the times when you taught us the word of God. We gave our hearts to Jesus. I had my house. I could be like a bachelor, go every weekend to my home and enjoy. I said, no, I'm being here. The church where I'm planted. Because I own the ministry. I was a keyboardist. Though I don't know much of chords, but I was so confident. Only 10 people were there. I used to do whatever what came. And but, you know, it was like a Pentecostal meeting. Cut, 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 full tongues only everybody will speak. Because they don't know what they're singing. I don't know what I'm playing, but the Holy Spirit knows it's from the heart. Hallelujah. That's how it is. When you know what you're singing and when you know what you're hearing, the Spirit of God cannot work. You just keep singing. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Relationship. Do you own it? Do you? What is the ministry area that you own in the church where you are placed? If you are not owning, get into that. Because that's what God wants you to progress into. Don't be a contractual labor. Because Ruth 3 talks about owning something. Because that's what God wants you to be. Stewards of where God has planted you. So, first of all, I want to say it's a relationship that gives you rest. That's what Naomi says. Hey, I want you. You're struggling there. You're struggling in the field. You're going and hearing the deadline of your work and all those things. But I want you to take some rest. You should have some relationship that gives you rest. I pray that it will all happen in your workplaces. You will all become managers that you will just delegate the work and you will just sit aramse and think about the work of God. Not daydream. But think about the work of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. You don't want it? You don't want it? Leave it. Somebody else will take it. See, ministry is something like this that you can be replaced. Say, I can be replaced. You can be replaced. If you are not using the opportunities which God is giving you, God will just, you know, he's this chess master, grandmaster, like Vishwanathan Anand. He just moves the chess. Elijah said, it's enough, Lord. I am the only one. I am the only one. Like me, I always say, Lord, empty seats always. I'm feeling like giving up. Seriously, I say. Satish Kumar is speaking the same message which I am speaking. He has 2 lakh people. I am having 20 people. I have grumbled. Then I thought, okay, what is he trying to tell different? I thought, okay, nothing. I'm not feeling anything different also from what he's speaking. Probably, I think I'm better than him. But for him, 2 lakhs, for me, 20 people. It's enough, Lord. I've said many times. But now we are across that realm because we know that it's all about shepherding. Shepherding those who, it's not about count. Of course, he has got a big net. We thank God for that big net of 2 lakh people coming and sitting. It's a good sight. But I pray that all the 2 lakh people, if they are on fire, India would have been evangelized by now. Is that right or wrong? With 12 people, if God could shake the entire world, what about 2 lakh people? They are still lacking the shaking. They are shaking because of that person shepherd there. But somebody should come and shake them. Yeah. If the people of God know their potential, we can be like game changers. Somebody said, praise the Lord. I love my brothers and sisters in Calvary Temple. May the Lord bless them. They are a part of the big family. They might be different names, but we are all a part of the big family. We are all a part. Our Father is up above. We are all His children. We pray that, you know, with God, with the potential God gives, we have to work more for Him. So here we read that she's telling, and Jesus used the same word in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. So a relationship that gives you rest comes only from Jesus. And today I invite you to work for Him and to seek Him and to know Him more personally. Is He yours? And in Ruth chapter 3, we see Ruth making Boaz as hers. Boaz stands as an image of Jesus. It's an image of Jesus. Okay? And now, let's go to second, it's a relationship based on God's word. First, it's a relationship based on rest. God wants you to take ownership of ministry. And God wants you to give you rest. And second, it's based on God's word. Because in verse 2, we read Naomi telling her, and now is not Boaz one of our kindred, means it's a relative with whose maidens you were with her servants. He's winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor. He's in the night in the threshing floor. Night in the threshing floor. How many of you seeing winnowing? Winnowing process, you know? Our small children will never see that because our hi-fi mothers don't know all those things. How many hi-fi mothers are here? Start from you. Lift your hands. Do you know what to do? Do you know what to do? Organic thing. It all comes. Earlier it was like paddy. When paddy, chaff, when you have to separate. Lakshmi, did you do that? So when the wind blows, what happens? The chaff goes away and the heavy things come down. Winnowing. So at night only the barley harvest would take place. So there were seven feasts of Israel. I don't want to go into the feast, but some feasts were in the third part, that is in October. October, tabernacles, trumpets, and atonement, day of atonement. Hey, I'm going to Israel in October. Three feasts are coming. You can come with me. Get some money now. We want a team. Subhashne Garu. So 90,000, sirf 90,000, not even 1 month salary of yours. So now you can imagine what is her salary. So relationship based on God's word. In Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10, this is the thing. Deuteronomy 5, 25, 5 to 10, it's like this. If the wife loses his husband, it's the husband's brother's mandate to take care of the wife. It was that day because God's law mandated it like that. So Naomi knew this. Naomi knew that Ruth had a bigger position which she could get if Boaz thinks. So Naomi is orchestrating a master plan. How many of you know the elderly people have more masterly plan? Idea means idea. Ask Lakshmi Amma for plans. She will tell you. My grandma, Amma, amazing plan. You will not make plans. She knows where to put a bomb. She knows where to defuse it. Not you, my grandmother. In my house. She's sharp shrewd because she came from experience. She knows how to see 80, 85 years of experience. We don't have. We are just younger. So Naomi made the master plan. You know what she said? She knew God's word. She knew that it is Ruth, it is Boaz's responsibility now to take care of Ruth. She knew it in God's word. She knew it in the law. So you know what she's telling? Are you with me? Come to verse 3. Wash yourself therefore. Anoint thee. Put thy raiment upon thee. So she's telling, wash yourself well. Clean well. Don't come to Sunday service without cleaning yourself. Clean well. Whatever it is, clean well. Put oil. Nowadays, we don't have oil concept at all. That's why you all are becoming gray very early. Come back to the oil. No. You put oil, you put shampoo and shampoo. What happens is the hair goes whiter and whiter. Grayer. And then we have to apply black magic. One day I asked one pastor, does people use black magic on you? Black magic? Oh, I don't have any black magic. I said, no, you have. You look at your hair, full black magic. What a magic it is, no? You just put the color paint and... Why? No oil. God is asking you to put oil. Put some anointing. Put some Holy Spirit inside of you. When you come to the church, take good bath, freshen yourself, put some good oil. Cover yourself. Don't be naked. Yeah, these days we see naked churches. You know, naked churches. There, that's all church. Now they put tattoo also. Tattoo. See, putting a tattoo, in my humble opinion, you are harming your flesh. And as long as you hurt your body, it's not a good proposition. That's my take. Well, many people are in America, full tattoo people live around. God forgive them. That's up to God and them. But once tattooed, you can escape also. So your relationship with God should be so much stronger that you should say, Lord God, I am really sorry. In my ignorance, I did that. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Now you cannot put it again. Now you are not ignorant. Because I dealt with that today. See, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You should take care of it. You should take care of it. You should take care of your body. So tattooing culture, I don't think it's a good proposition, because the law of God says it. Do not disfigure your body. Do not mark your body. Do not sharpen your body. That's what the Bible says. See, only if you know Genesis to Malachi can you appreciate what happens in Matthew to Revelation. But we don't know Matthew, Mark also. We don't know Genesis to Leviticus also. We only know Psalms. Ah, family prayer. Psalm 23. Yeah, Psalms. Chappu. January 25 also Psalm 23. Chappu. December 31st also chappu. Are there no other scriptures in the word? What chappu? No chappu. You want to go full, learn God's word. Discipline yourself to learn God's word from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation. Try doing it. Friends, Christian life is a wonderful life with God's word. It's not a tough life. I won't say that, because as long as you're in a relationship with God, you know. You know that now what Naomi is telling. Then she's telling, you go down to the floor. You should not make yourself known unto the man until he has done. So while you go, Boaz will be eating and little wine will be there, because that is his staple. After the winnowing process, he will eat something and then he will take some wine and then he will sleep. Don't show yourself till then. So you should be a secret servant. Look at what strategy. May God give you some divine strategies this week. Amen. That's a parallel. Verse 4. When you lie down, mark the place. So your eyes should be on Boaz, because there are many other guys there. If you miss the mark, that's all gone. You understand what I'm telling you? Many boys are lying there. You should know where he is, because they put, it's a cold night, they put the blanket over them and sleep. Like Vijay Kumar, putting the blanket. You don't put the blanket over? I like putting the blanket. That's what I'm telling you. Pastor, how did he come to my bedroom? No, I don't come to bedrooms. So, generally I see people, you know, under the blanket only, especially in Bangalore. This climate, after the Sunday service, eat a good dum biryani yesterday, and then, what a life, no? Your body needs rest, you're all working, take some good rest, no problem. But think about God's work also, that should be ruling your hearts. Okay, and mark the place, don't miss the place, because if you miss the place, you will be in with some other fellow. So then she said, you go, lift the blanket from his feet and lie in his feet. So Boaz is sleeping. He ate, drank. He started sleeping. Suddenly he just twisted. He felt air coming in. You know that cold air. I put a blanket. What happened to my blanket? But he moved it. He saw, who is this girl? Imagine yourself in that position. Oh. This is what is, Bible is very dramatic. Say, Bible is very dramatic. Bible is the most dramatic. These Telugu movie and Tamil movie, nothing. You come to the Bible, you see action sequence only. Imagine this voice is rising up. Oh, who is this guy? Who are you? That's what we read in verse 9. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread now thy skirt or thy shawl over thy handmaid, for you are a kinsman. Now I want to tell you, I don't want you to miss verse 5 there. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. In verse 6, she did as her mother-in-law said. Now if you look at the Old Testament, it's a pattern. If you follow God's word fully, God will bless you. If you do half-heartedly also, see that when I told about the replacement concept, you should understand. Elijah said, it's enough, Lord. It's enough, Lord. It's enough, Lord. God said, no, you have a long journey to go. No, it's enough, Lord. Okay, you take the oil, go and anoint Elisha. We do not see Elijah after 1 Kings chapter 19 or 20, because almost his ministry, he said, enough. God said, now you are moved from the picture, and who comes in? Elisha. People who tell God's word in your life are the most important people. It might be your pastor, it might be your mother-in-law, it might be people where you discuss God's word, not gossip stories, not, hey, what did Aishwarya Rai do in that film? People have no other work. Think about God's word. If you think about God's word, Your destiny will be shaped. Amen. See, can I tell you a life lesson? This is a life lesson. If you have something as an idol, if you think you're, some people say they are car crazy. You know what is car crazy? They like the engine, the tire, and they make that sound. Then they like that, some people like a bike. They like it more than, I want to tell you, their end will be there. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that. If you are having anything other than God as an idol, your death will occur there. King Ahab liked his chariots. What is that? Chariots. Where did he die? In the chariot. King Absalom had passion for his hair. His hair was lovely. How did he die? His hair was hooked into the branch. What is the life lesson? You adore anything more than God, your death will happen by that. That's the story. That's the life. So friends, let there be no idol in your life. Let's have Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Ladies, if you like cosmetics more, it's dangerous. Beauty once. Looking at yourself. No, no. 10:30 service is happening. 10:30 also madam is in front of the mirror. What are you putting? If I got you, I'll give you one and say, come to the church. I won't do that. I'm a very gentle man. Okay. So, friends, don't be self-obsessed. It pained me. So, friends, don't let any idol come in your life. So, first it was a relationship that gave rest. Second, it was God's word. And she did everything. You will do whatever God tells in his word. In Jesus' name. Amen. If he tells what to do in his word, you will do. Not half-heartedly, full-heartedly. And that's where blessing comes. When Ruth did that, what happened? Boaz, he's telling, now, put in the night. Girl is telling, I am Ruth, your servant. In Ruth chapter 2. But now I want you to do something. You have to take responsibility over my life. That's what that shawl meant. It was like giving a wedding ring. Night, midnight conversation. What is happening? Everybody are snoring. Ruth and Boaz are having a good conversation. Midnight conversation. Not romantic conversation, but of responsibility. I want to tell you, friends, God wants to take responsibility of your life. Yeah. You're not running it alone. Lift your hands and say, God owns my life. I am responsible to him. I want to tell you, as much as you're concerned about your health, he's concerned about it. As long as you're concerned about your job, he's concerned about it. As long as he's concerned about your future, he's concerned about it. But did you do what Ruth did? Did you ask Boaz, put that shawl on me? I have my degree, I have my job, but I still want that shawl, that responsibility of my life to lie on you, Lord. Lift your hands and say, Lord, take responsibility of my life. I can't run this life alone. Lord, you put that shawl on me. You know that shawl? When shawl comes over you, that's the way in which people say that you want to me, you belong to me. When Elijah went and put the shawl to Elisha, what it said is, I will take care of you. Come after me. Boaz said, okay, I put my shawl over you. When all others are sleeping in their bed, may you have some good midnight conversations with God. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I want those midnight conversations with you. That my soul will be blessed. My heart will be blessed. Tonight onwards, your nightmares are ending. You're going to have comforting words of God. Hearing all through your life. Lift your hands and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Midnight conversations with God. You will say, I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God. And I spent time with the word of God. Relationship based on responsibility. You can talk to God and say, Lord, you own my life. You can conversation with God. You can reason with God. I just want you to note some verses. Hallelujah. Exodus 32, 12 and 14. Genesis 18, 25. How Abraham prayed. Abraham is telling, you are a judge God. You are a just God. Don't kill this entire city. If there are 50 righteous people, spare it. I want to tell you, you can change the mind of God. You can change the heart of God. You can change the way God works. It's all by your prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is nothing greater than prayer. You're made for prayer. You're wired for prayer. You can move the hand of God. And like Ruth said, you spread that shawl over me. Tonight when you go, today after you go from this service, say, Lord, I'm thankful that your shawl is on my life. I am not running my life. You are running it. I am no more a contractual worker of Ruth 2, but I am into a relationship in Ruth. I have heard your heartbeat. You are owning my life. Hallelujah. Exciting, no? Look at verse 10. I am Ruth, thy handmaid, your servant. Wow, what a. She didn't go beyond. Now you should understand that Ruth came from a land where the daughters lied with the father. Moab was a nation that came out because daughters had relationship with the father. That was the background of Ruth. But look at Ruth here. She's not going anywhere. She's just lying at the feet. Because she wanted Boaz to take responsibility of her life. Today, Jesus is telling, I am your good Boaz. I will take care of your life. I will take care of your life. You don't worry about it. And then she's verse 10. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter and that at the beginning. The kindness word is called Hesed, H-E-S-E-D in Hebrew. It's a word which Hesed, H-E-S-E-D. It means love, compassion, kindness, all put together. You will all be people of Hesed. So much of love, so much of kindness, so much of compassion, so much of understanding, so much of knowledge about things. Say Hesed. H-E-S-E-D, Hesed, Hesed, you will be Hesed people, like Ruth. And she's telling, in verse 11, my daughter, out of all the city of my people, you know you are a virtuous woman, a noble woman, a noble woman. Wow, virtuous woman. That was testimony, all the city. She's telling, from a Moabite city, she was so pure. Ruth was so pure. She was so noble. She was so virtuous. And that's what we read in Proverbs 31. A girl of virtuous nature, noble nature. Who can find? Right? Read that. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Tia, where is your Bible? Are you noting it down? Next week onwards, you have to bring your Bible and take with me. 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A pure woman. May we all be a pure bride for Jesus. We cannot stand the sight of sin. We cannot stand. Last week I was playing the Subway Surfer. In between some advertisement came. A naked woman. In between Subway Surfer. Lord, what is this? Our children are looking at evil from. We do not know. It just comes in. You cannot have a. Because we downloaded Subway Surfer free. We like free, no? And in between comes advertisements. See, friends, they are influenced to a naked culture before even they know it. But make sure that you cultivate a noble family, a virtuous family. Don't view evil. Don't side evil. Don't go for sexual lust. Have a passion for God. Have a passion for God. Passion for God. Amen. It was a relationship based on testimony. So first is relationship that gives rest. Relationship based on God's word. Relationship based on responsibility. Boaz is on responsible. Second, it's a relationship based on testimony. If you are pure, God will take you. If you are pure, God will take you. Without sanctification, no one shall see God. And I want to just add to it that in Hebrew Bible, Ruth comes after Proverbs. No wonder in Proverbs 31 it says, who can find a noble woman? And Ruth stands as an example of a noble woman. She didn't go, she could have made the Moab sinful thing that night with Boaz, but she didn't do that. She lay at her feet and Boaz took control. Amen. Let every sensual culture leave your house in Jesus' name. Let everything that promotes unwanted things. If internet is taking too much of time, cut off your Wi-Fi. If mobile data is consuming so much of data and sin, Throw it off. We cannot handle it. But God loves a pure bride. And God loves you. Amen. No, amen is coming. Are you all here? I'll stop it. Don't worry. Then it's a relationship of reward in verse 13. Sorry, in 15. She said, bring the shawl that you brought. Hold it. And he measured 6 measures of barley. 6 measures. We don't know correctly what measure, but it was quite a coup. He said, okay, night, this is happening. Tonight, today, you have come with some shawl to the Lord. He's filling you with barley. He's filling your spirit with some good blessings. You are not going to go empty-handed from Boaz's house. You have come here seeking the face of God. Hallelujah. Today, as we sang, he will do something new today. He's telling, now bring that shawl which you brought. I want to send you full night. And then she said, don't tell that what happened here. Let nobody know. Till the morning she learned, she went off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today you have come seeking God. He's rewarding you. You just lift that shawl to him and say, Lord, fill it up. You ask me to take responsibility. Yes, I am taking responsibility of your life. You are seeing a miracle. You will go happy. It is a relationship of reward. Last point, relationship of trust. And Naomi. Now, we don't record this in the sequence of events, what Boaz said. Boaz just measured and sent her into the city. Verse 16, when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who are you, my daughter? And she told her that the man, let him be there, no problem. Let him be covered with God's word. And he told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me. He said to me, don't go empty unto thy mother-in-law. Today he's sending you, don't go empty back into your house. Don't go empty, he's filling you today. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. How many of you believe that your spirit is getting full as you hear God's word? Don't go empty-handed. You're walking out with a miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. And the last verse, 18. Now concentrate here. We will rise up to our feet and then we will read it. Okay, verse 18. Then said she, can we read? Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fail. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing this day. Naomi knew something which even Ruth did not know. You know what? This man has taken over your life. Without settling the matter, he's not going to sleep. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, without settling your matter, Christ is not going to get out from that place. Hallelujah. What a joy. Hallelujah. When I got this last verse yesterday, I was like, Lord, thank you. He's telling you prophetically, this matter is with him. Your issues are with him. And he's not going to rest until he does a solution, until he finds solution for that matter. Hallelujah. It's a relationship of trust. You can trust in him. I'm telling you, you're walking out with a miracle. I'm telling you, your matters are in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. Your children are in God's hands. Your wife is in God's hands. Lift your hands and say, thank you. Your family is in God's hands. Lift it and say amen. Hallelujah. Your education is in my hand. Your future is in my hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody thank him by clapping your hands and giving him the praise. I thank you, Lord, that you're responsible over my life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're responsible over Timothy. You're responsible over Tia. You're responsible over my church. You're responsible. You're going to do great things. You're going to bring a settlement to the matter. In Jesus' name, sicknesses be healed. New things happen in your body, in your spirit. He's not going to rest. He's up to something. Your Boaz is up to something. Hallelujah.